time to get your ears fucked.
You're a bunch of fucking amateurs.
Welcome to Sold Out Cast.
This is episode 167 of the Sold Out Cast podcast. I am your host, Mike, and there's no guests. We're doing it crazy. We're just taking a shot. I want to talk about women's laissez-faire relationship when it comes to closing bags of chips. Now, I realize that this is going to come off as a wild generalization, but let me preface this by saying I am referring to literally every, not figuratively, literally referring to every woman I have ever known, not just ladies I've been in relationships with, but even relatives. The nonchalance that these women have shown when it comes to closing a bag of chips is borderline criminal, and something needs to be done about it. And I don't know if, to the people listening, if you're a lady, or if you come to realize, you know, that you're wrong, maybe I'll change some minds for the better. Maybe I'll save some chips in the process. For guys, you know, if you see your lady doing this, we all got to come together and do something about this. Maybe we need a march, or maybe we need a good protest. Just, you know, have a bunch of your friends over and just stand in the kitchen holding, you know, bags of stale chips in the air. So here is the way I have seen every woman that I've ever known store a bag of chips. Just takes the top and just crinkles it up in a roll and then throws it in the pantry and then slowly backs away like Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then as soon as they turn, well, a boulder doesn't unfortunately come down from the pantry. But what does happen is that bag just unrolls. Whether it's within 5 seconds or within 5 minutes, eventually you're left with just an open bag of chips. Just chips with the ability to fly anywhere and everywhere at any moment. And worst of all, the enemy air now has a direct line of sight towards victory. And that is to, you know, ruin the whole bag of chips. And anytime I ever bring this up, I inevitably get the, well, how do you close the bag of chips, you know, conversation. And then I tell them, and you just, it's easy. You just fold it over and you set the bag on top of the fold. That's it. Fold it, set on top. Gravity will do the rest. Now, is it a perfect seal? No, of course not. For a perfect seal, you need like 20 clips or a vacuum machine, one of those things. But doing it this way, gravity holds the bag down, keeps as much air out of it as possible without the, you know, aforementioned clips, vacuum sealer. The only problem that you run into with this method is if you, the first time you open those chips and you only eat like, you know, you withstand the urge to eat the whole bag of Lay's despite the fact that they're so good that you, you know, you can't eat one. It's hard to do the fold if the bag is still mostly full. Now, thankfully, these days, chip manufacturers have helped us out and taken a whole bunch of chips out of the bag, you know, because they can't raise the price of chips. If you went to the store and suddenly a bag of Doritos were 50 cents more, you'd lose your fucking mind and you would know it because they print the damn thing right on the fucking bag. It's not even like you could like do some like, well, it must be the grocery store. No, it's the fucking manufacturer. So they can't raise that price. So what they do is they slowly reduce the amount that is in the bag and you fucking don't notice because they puff the rest of it up with air because, you know, because they got to protect it during shipping. That's the selling point. And yeah, maybe that's probably true, but it's also true that they're trying to fucking rip you off by slowly reducing the amount of food in the fucking bag. Fucking peanut butter does the same goddamn thing. They put the fucking divot on the bottom of the peanut butter so that less peanut butter is in the jar, but you can't tell because it just looks like it's the same jar of peanut butter. Those motherfuckers in cereal boxes do the same goddamn fucking thing. Cereal boxes are fucking narrower, which means there's less fucking cereal in the box, but you're still paying the same goddamn price. I'm fucking tired of this shit. Let's be honest about it, okay? Let's be honest about it. Lay's, Frito-Lay, you motherfuckers, Corn Flakes, you know, all these bitches, all these fucking goddamn corporate monstrosities that are just trying to leech money out of my pocket. I'm done with it. But anyway, back to the chips. You know, there's few things worse than reaching into a bag of chips. You know, you can't even tell when you first pick it up. Well, sometimes if it's really, really, really stale, you can tell. But usually you can't tell just by like touching the chip. So you pick it up and you take the bite and the crunch is diminished. There's nothing, there are few things worse than diminished crunch, okay? Off the top of my head, you know, the Holocaust, that's probably about, you know, right on par with diminished crunch. Darfur, I mean, all the horrible things that are going on there, right even with diminished crunch. So please, please, ladies, I'm not saying this to insult you. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm not saying this to start a gender war. I get it. You probably just have bigger fucking things on your mind than a bag of chips, okay? But for every man in the world, for every, you know, that just, whether it's here with our fatty fucking deep fried corn and potato chips, or over in fucking like India with their goddamn curry fucking vegetable shit, whatever it is that they fucking eat over there, we all just want just a little more fucking courtesy when it comes to closing our goddamn chips that we paid good fucking money for, or maybe you paid for it. And if you paid for it, then you really should want to do it, because again, diminished crunch. I don't know how else to say it other than just say diminished crunch. And I know some people in the world want to deny diminished crunch. They want to say that it's an invented tragedy. But I'm here to tell you that it's real. Diminished crunch is real, and we've got to do something about it. I'm a pretty big Facebook user. I have a love-hate relationship with it. I mean, I enjoy the access that it gives me to, you know, friends, what they're up, not family, fuck family. Fuck family on Facebook, especially fuck my family on Facebook. But I enjoy it otherwise. But here's the problem is ever since the Democratic primaries to the general election to today, my role on Facebook, I feel like has shifted to more of a adjudicator. In the sense that all I do is tell everyone, no matter their political affiliation, how wrong they are. Because I'm right. I'm right. Okay. I'm right. You're wrong. Okay. Get it right. I'm right. You're wrong. So you're going to listen to me. I'm going to tell you how it is. And I'm going to fucking put you in your place. Or at least that's how it goes in my brain. Probably isn't really how it goes to everyone else. My latest Facebook adventure in this realm was last week, and I'm not gonna say his name, but you know, I consider him a friend of mine, and I also always considered him a very intelligent person. But I gotta tell you, this fucking conversation made me wonder. Unless, okay, let me put this first. He could have just been fucking taking everyone on a ride, and I really hope that that's what it was. And if it was, then he got me. Which is not, it's not easy to fucking take me on a ride like that. It's not easy to troll me, okay? But maybe that's what he did. But if he was trolling me, he took it, like, he took it all the way to the end. He never revealed it. So I'm not really sure if that was the case. The disagreement was primarily based around the gender wage gap and whether or not it's a real thing. And he posted a link to a YouTube video by Internet Persona Maddox, who I guess he's, that website still exists. He ran a website years and years and years ago. It's called the most awesome page in the fucking cocksucking universe or whatever it was. And it was basically little fucking doodles and, you know, jokes and whatever. And, you know, he was just getting a rise out of people. He was just getting a rise out of people. That was what he was, a troll. He was an epic troll. He got people fucking worked up over bullshit all the time. He even wrote a fucking book that was, you know, really shitty. But, you know, I've never written a book, so what can I say? Anyway, the video was him talking about the gender wage gap, and his argument for it not existing was that if we can get away with paying women 20% less, so 80 cents or 75 cents on the dollar, than men, then why don't companies just hire all women? That was the basis of his argument. And that is the dumbest fucking crock of shit that I've ever fucking heard from anyone. And what's worse, this person that I know that I consider an intelligent person co-opted it and blasted it on their fucking Facebook. And I just felt like this over, like, I don't want to call it a white knight urge. It was, like I said, I'm the adjudicator of right and wrong on Facebook these days. So I felt a need to present factual information. And I understand that this information has been around for decades that have basically said, women by and large make less than men. Now, most of the studies were bullshit because they were median wages for men and median wages for women, comparing them. And that's not really fair because women historically primarily been in fields that pay less than men. So, of course, even in today's age, the median wage is going to be off. So fuck that. Fuck that statistic. But however, there are studies that compare job to job. Now, here's what they come in with. Well, they compare job to job, but they don't take into account experience. They don't take into account the number of blowjobs they get per week or the number of, scissor action they get with their lesbian girlfriend. They don't take into account the fucking butterfly effects, butterfly in fucking Japan batting its wings, how that affects wages in America. They don't take into account the fucking lunar gravity on the ebb and flow of the American dollar. Okay, you can fucking sit here and name variable after variable after variable that isn't, taken into account in any study. That doesn't mean it's not true. That just means that you can only fucking study so much. There's only so many things you can account for. There's only so many variables that you can fucking track. So that said, here is some information. And I quoted the most recent fucking study that I could find, and that's from payscale.com, and it was comparing job to job, that's women and men with the same jobs and their fucking salaries, and it still found a 20%+ difference average, of course, that was across all industries. But then it also had each industry broken down, and they were all, some of them were only 4%, but then some of them were up to 30%. So here's what I don't understand. Let's get past the retarded fucking argument that, well, if corporations could pay women less money, then, well, why don't they just hire all women? Because fucking historically, women and minorities have been viewed by the sacred fucking cow that is white man that they are not able to do as good of a job as other men. It's a fucking boys club, but there's always been a boys club. It still exists today, but is it better? Sure, but it still even fucking exists today. But even if tomorrow someone could wave a fucking magic wand, if Professor Xavier decided to avoid all of his convictions and overrule one thing in everyone's mind across the globe, and he said, no more discrimination based on sex or race, guess what? It would still take fucking decades for the issue to correct itself because it's been going on for so long. That said, what is the worst that my friend thinks is going to happen if he admits that a gender wage gap exists? He's not the CEO of some company that is concerned that if suddenly there was a public fucking spotlight on the fact that he pays women less and all of a sudden every woman in his company starts asking for raises, demanding equal pay. I get why that person has a vested interest in denying the gender wage gap. My friend doesn't. He I'm not going to say what he does, but I assure you, it's not something that he has to worry about. And by the way, you know what a huge fucking problem is? Every goddamn fucking company on the planet has a rule in their little employee handbook, or if you sign a goddamn contract, that states that you cannot disclose your wage to another employee, and in doing so, you could risk your job. Well, gee, I wonder why they do that. That's because they don't want fucking a goddamn strike force, because Anderson in accounting blabbed to Janine, who blabbed to Sarah, who blabbed to Connor, that Tim in sales, that fucking motherfucking Tim, that Tim over in sales makes $3 goddamn an hour, and he's only been working there for 3 months, okay? The entire goddamn floor is going to freak the fuck out and demand more money. I get it. And it also serves to protect companies from paying genders and minorities the same amount of money, because they know that the employees are prohibited from sharing their fucking pay with other employees, and that's it. So they can play fucking dumb. They can pretend like, oh, well, no, everyone, we treat everyone fairly. When we hire a new person, we hire them with a thought of, you know, what other employees make at the company, you know, because we don't just try to lowball every fucking person that comes through that door, because, you know, that would be good business. But we don't do that because we're the company with a conscience. We're a company that wants to actually, you know, have happy employees and not just treat them like, you know, wage slaves. I don't know where I was going with that. I feel like I was making a point and I kind of went off and into mumbo jumbo land. But speaking of women, segue. Did you see this women's march? Did you see this women's march last month or whatever? Was it January, February? I thought it was great. I watched it on the news because, you know, I didn't go because I'm not a woman, but I saw some men there. But more importantly, I'm dirt fucking poor and I can't afford to go just to Washington, D.C. on a goddamn dime. Take the Greyhound. But, you know, I found it interesting that during the entire time, never once did I see the apparently, you know, biggest feminist on the planet, Hillary Clinton, at this event. I guess I just kept expecting that any moment for her to emerge like Baba Yaga from the forest with her fucking, like, her goddamn bobblehead fucking flopping, you know, back and forth. And, you know, stroll up to the front of the thing to fucking bask in the glory of these strong women marching for their right to choose and their right to control their bodies and all, and the right to fair wages. I expected her to be there. I was really shocked that she wasn't. And initially, my thought was, well, that's really good. She's not taking advantage of that platform. But then I kind of thought about, you know, during the primaries and then during the election, Hillary Clinton was the candidate for every self-proclaimed feminist, and not even just feminists, like just women in general, especially ones that I know, aside from a few that, you know, didn't just walk a party line. Why wouldn't she be there? That's a little, I thought it was a little weird that she didn't show up there. But as much as that kind of gave me hope that maybe she was gone for good, she had returned to her fortress of solitude under the mountain, along with all of her little Illuminati friends. As much as I really hope that that was the case, then I see her give this video, very awkward video speech to Democrats, talking about how, you know, now there's like an energy and we've got to take advantage of it. And I'm like, bitch, there is, you did shit to fucking take advantage of any energy. All you did was fucking stamp it out at any goddamn time, at any goddamn fucking moment you could. Anytime you fucking heard Bernie Sanders' name, you just fucking like broke out your fucking clogs and did a fucking little, you know, yodel-hee-hoo on it. She just talked about like there's, like she had something to do with this energetic movement, completely ignoring the fact that the movement started way back when and was started by another campaign. And yeah, I realized that people brought into it now, a lot of them did support Hillary and they were just now co-opting the movement that was already in place. And I don't have a problem with that. Anything that keeps people mad, I am for, because people need to be mad right now with the shit that's kind of going on. I mean, if you listen to the last episode before we went on hiatus, it was called, you know, Bernie or Bust, where I made the case that as long as Donald Trump doesn't do permanent damage to this country, the progressive left is better off with him as president than Hillary Clinton, because everything I said is happening. People are angry. People are protesting. People are standing up to congressmen and senators that have never had to worry about losing their fucking position. We have a good chance of winning big time in 2018 and then carrying that forward in 2020. But what does the fucking DNC do? They fuck it up. They fuck it up. They fucking put Tom Perez at the head of the goddamn thing. Now, granted, he's way better than Donna. He's way better than Debbie. At least I hope so. I hope that he's not going to play the same goddamn games they did. I mean, how do you get away with some of the shit that... How can you... When I'm referring to Donna, how can you be the head of the DNC, be on CNN, leak fucking debate questions to her, and that be okay? I mean, I know she lost her job at CNN, but... really, was that big of a deal? I mean, she really didn't get reprimanded at all. She got to go back and play with her toys at the DNC. She's still a huge influential member. Hillary Clinton's thanking her in that fucking video. Fuck that bitch. I'm going to tell you right now, in 3 years, Hillary Clinton is going to emerge from her fucking mountain fortress of solitude, pushed up by her fucking Illuminati friends wearing goat heads and fucking... you know, flinging fire from the end of guitars and, you know, hot rodding it through Europe across the Atlantic fucking ocean back into Washington. She's probably going to run again. And to all my friends that voted for her, that supported her over Bernie Sanders, you need to say fucking no unless you want another 4 years of Donald Trump. Because that's what will happen if she runs again. And if you're stupid enough to think that that's not what's going to happen, then you're a fucking idiot. You are a fucking idiot, and you're one of the million other idiots in the DNC that doesn't understand that you can't keep fucking playing the neoliberal agenda and expect it to win anymore. It's not that world. It's not the 90s, okay? How many years do the Democrats need to fucking lose before they get a fucking... before they learn a goddamn lesson? How many fucking years do they have to lose before they learn the fucking lesson that neoliberalism is dead? Anyone under the age of 40 fucking hates it. Neoliberalism is the heroin of the Democratic National Committee, and they need to fucking kick it. I realize that it's hard. You know, maybe you just need to go Oxy. Just get a good prescription, go to a pain clinic in Florida, get some Oxy, get some Percocet, wean yourself off the street trash, at least... you know, at least you can go to work in the morning, you know, and just pop a pill during lunch. You know, you're not trying to fucking tie one off in the bathroom. I think I don't want to wish ill on anyone, but I'm going to. I think the best thing that could happen is if something prevents Hillary from running, some sort of physical issue, you know, one of those diseases that we all secretly believe that she has. I hope one of them catches up to her. I don't want her to perish. I don't want her to die. That I believe me, to anyone at the CIA, NSA, FBI listening to this, I do not want that to happen. I just want her to grow old and not be able to run. That's all I want. I think it would be the best thing. Well, the second best thing would be for her to run and for her to get stomped in the primary by a much more progressive candidate, because I think that would be a death nail in the neoliberal agenda. But I would be fucking so scared of the fact that all these assholes that voted for Tom Perez in as head of the DNC would push her through just like they did in 2016. Anyway, so over the weekend I saw Kong Skull Island with the lady. And we both thought it was excellent. I gave it an 8 out of 10. She gave it a 9 out of 10. I think that we liked it the most. It's just our scales. Her 9 out of 10 is like an 8 out of 10 for me. 9 out of 10, you're getting into There Will Be Blood, No Country for Old Men, Shawshank Redemption territory. I don't think it was that good. But it was a solid, solid entertaining movie. I really have no complaints. I enjoyed it way more than the Peter Jackson 2005 King Kong, which was essentially just a remake of the original. One of the things I really liked about it, there was a little bit of humor, just very little, but it was never in inappropriate places. It was always in a good beat where you like, okay, a joke totally should go here. It wasn't like in some blockbusters where they really shoehorn in the humor to lessen the impact of the violence. And then to which I say, well, then why do you fucking have violence? You know, if you're so ashamed, I'm talking to you, Marvel, if you're so ashamed of the violence in your movies, then don't fucking make them so violent. Don't have Captain America kill people with his shield just because I don't see fucking blood flying in the air. If he throws this fucking shield at a human being and smashes him in the face, that person is dead. Okay? So Marvel, either accept your goddamn level of violence or lessen it. You know, take a cue from Logan, and by that I don't mean go rated R, but one of the great things about Logan was that it didn't feature hyper levels of choreography. It was just straight fighting. Now, granted, there's blood and guts flying everywhere, but if you had cut all those blood and guts out, you know, if you had done the PG-13, you know, voodoo shuffle on it, it still would have been great. I mean, I love the fact that it was rated R, but it still would have been great. And I much more prefer that more realistic violence, especially I like a good punch in a movie that sounds like a punch, not like the over exaggerated, you know, they're hitting the back of a couch with a broom, you know, punching celery bullshit. I just like a good straight punch sound. And I realize that in the big, you know, in real big bombastic movies, they want to convey the feeling that you're supposed to get from the punch, not really a realistic sound. But anyway, yeah, and one of the things I really liked about Kong was the humor didn't interrupt the horrible shit that was happening. But before I went to see it, I did go and read a few reviews just because I wanted to torture myself. And I checked out Rotten Tomatoes. I hate Rotten Tomatoes. Why if I can go there? I don't understand. But, you know, I had a really good rating. And I just wanted to read one bad review. And the one at the very top got me. It right under the fucking skin. Like a needle right under my fucking thumbnail. I can't remember which one it was, which critic it was, but he basically said, it's a great movie, but it's not the original. And he's referring to the one from 1930, whatever it was, or 1940 something. You know, the stop motion one. And this just kind of reminded me of an age-old debate in my brain about movie nostalgia. And every time I see a movie that's a remake or... I mean, I don't really consider Skull Island a remake, but I guess it kind of is. But anyway, I see this argument a lot. Like, I saw it when 3:10 to Yuma came out. I saw it with the True Grit remake. I saw it with Magnificent Seven. And it's this idea that just because a movie was made during the golden age of cinema, that it's somehow automatically better than any remake could ever be. And let me first say that 3:10 to Yuma, the new one, is a million times better than the original. The new True Grit, a million times better than the original. I mean, fucking John Wayne, one of the great American horrible actors that somehow made it. They gave him a pity fucking Oscar for True Grit. And I mean, it's just, number one, I try to not to be too hard on old movies because the technology wasn't there a lot of the times to really allow them to make the movies they wanted to make. So they had to be creative. They had to use stop motion, like in the case of, you know, the original King Kong. So I kind of take those things out of the equation and I just accept them for what they are. Here's the problem though, with a lot of these old movies, the acting is so fucking over the top and cheesy and just playing to like almost like a vaudevillian level of grandioseness. I know that's not really a word. I just kind of made it up, but you know what I'm saying? Maybe because I didn't grow up on that. I saw these movies years after I was born. So maybe that's why I don't get it. To me, that's not normal. To me, when I see a great actor in a great role like Daniel Day-Lewis in anything that he's ever been in, when they truly inhabit the role and they truly present a realistic, three-dimensional character, that to me is great acting. That to me deserves recognition. So when I watch a lot of these older movies and it just feels sometimes amateurish. And so here's the thing about the original King Kong. For what it was at the time and for what it meant for moving ahead, stop motion and things like that, I got nothing bad to say about it. But if you automatically concede that Kong Skull Island is a technical marvel compared to the original King Kong, take that out of the equation. And it is. If you fucking want to tell me that it goddamn isn't, then fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, because it fucking is. Don't be one of those people, well, you know, it's because they had less to work with and, you know, they had to... Fuck you, okay? Don't be fucking dense, all right? The original King Kong was a goddamn fucking mess of clay. It was bullshit, all right? It was great for what it was at the time, but you can't compare that to the shit that we have going now. They fucking resurrected a dead man for Rogue Squadron. Not only did they resurrect him, he had lines. He was a major character. The camera was 2 inches from his face sometimes. You can't fucking compare that shit, okay? I love Army of Darkness, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the fucking skeletons are on the level of any fucking CG that's happening right now, for the most part, you know, discounting like, you know, Asylum Entertainment movies. But even those are better. I mean, really, at the end of the day, they look better. I'm just tired of this older is better bullshit. You know, nostalgia, I like nostalgia, okay? There are plenty of things that I really get into solely because of nostalgia. And that's okay. But I'm never going to tell you that something is better just because it's fucking old. I don't know. I thought that it was a really good movie. And I'm talking about Kong again. And I gave it an 8 out of 10. I think you should go see it. If you're choosing between Logan and Kong, I say go Logan. Logan was amazing. Or you could just buy a ticket to one and hop a theater. I mean, I don't want to condone that, but I can tell you right now, if you do it on a busy night, you're probably going to get away with it. Just try not to be seen. You'll be all right. You know, one day they're going to make a movie that's based, maybe it'll be on HBO or something, but it'll be based on the 2016 election. And, you know, obviously whoever ends up playing Donald Trump, they're going to have just a hilarious time getting into that role. I mean, just look at Alec Baldwin. You know, it's just going to be an amazing time. What I really can't wait, you know, speaking about, you know, bringing back Hillary Clinton, I can't wait for whoever plays her. I mean, Meryl Streep is probably the easy to go to. You know, everyone loves Meryl Streep. I mean, I personally don't give two shits about her, but, you know, everyone else does. So, I must be wrong. I'm wrong. I must be wrong because everyone else fucking loves her. I am convinced that most people who love her have only seen like 3 movies that she's been in. Now, I've only seen like 2 movies that she's been in, one of which was the Manchurian Candidate movie, which is way better than the original, to go back. Let's just say her. The important thing that whoever plays her has to get down is that fucking weeble wobble bullshit she's got going on with her head and that, you know, doe-eyed look that you usually only see in toddlers when they see a bright, shiny, squeaky toy above the cameraman as he's about to take a shot. That, to me, will be the make or break it for whoever's playing her to win an Academy Award for that performance. You've got to get it. What's your motivation? You've got to get the bounce back and forth. And, you know, they'll probably have to take some Dramamine. You know, you don't want to get motion sick from the, you know, the waves in your brain swimming around. But I mean, seriously, what the fuck is wrong with that woman? How big of a narcissist do you have to be to lose twice. The first time to the Barack Obama back in 2008, and then 2016 to the guy. Both times, by the way, she came out of the gate as the huge favorite. 2008 was going to be the year of Hillary. She had been put in place for over a decade. Back when her husband was in the White House, people were saying, "Oh, you're gonna run? You're gonna be president one day?" And what happens? As soon as he leaves, she goes and just walks in to the Senate from New York, like nobody's business. Like just walks right in, just accepts it, takes that mantle, does some half-assed work for a couple of years with that. Then merges from that in 2006, 2007 and says, "I'm going to be president." Everyone in the fucking Democratic Party goes, "Yeah, Hillary's going to be the first female president, blah, blah, you know." And she looked to be on course for that. And then
came the Obama factor.
He rose up and just stole all that momentum and just trounced her in the 2008 primary, and then went on to kick ass for two terms, depending on who you ask. I'm kind of waffle. You know, I think President Obama is a great person. Like, I would love to just hang out with him. You know, he could smoke around me. It's okay. I mean, I personally don't like smoking, but I'd be okay with it. I'm sure he's a great person just to hang out with. One of two things happened. When he originally ran, he ran as a very progressive candidate. I'm going to do all these things. Then he got in office and he didn't really do those things, or he moved towards the center on them. Either he was lying to get those votes, or Washington changed him. Probably the second. He probably got in there and either he realized it would be too hard or impossible to get the things done that he wanted to get done. So he had to play the game. I disagree with that, but hey, I'm not president. I've never been president. I digress. So then Hillary runs again, coasts through the for a good portion, the end of the primary, just coasted through the last of it. She was running for president 2 months before the primary was over, you know, thanks to, you know, some shenanigans and goings on by the DNC. And then, you know, was supposed to just run the table on Donald Trump, run the fucking table. But, you know, they fucked up. They fucked it up. They fucked it up. They basically looked at white people who, you know, make 30 to 80 grand a year and said, you know, we just expect you guys to vote for us. We don't really care about you. And what happens? You know, this is what happens when doves cry. Paint, if you will, a picture. Donald Trump is president. Okay, I'm out of here. I'll see you next time. This is Mike, SoCalCast. Peace.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.